You're listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.
Joining me on the phone, Senior U.S. Presidential Advisor Corey Lewandowski. Corey, how are you?
I am fantastic today. How are you?
I am doing great. Welcome. Thanks for joining us, Corey. Quick question for you. I need to know what Trump's position is or what your position is on perhaps replacing Hail to the Chief with Enter Sandman and bringing back the Choco Taco to lacrosse.
Well, listen, anything to do with Metallica, I am a fan of, okay? And I don't know anything about music, but I know a group that kills it when they see it, and so I'm okay with that. Here's the thing. The Trump Taco Bowl may have to be the new choice. If you remember that Taco Bowl that he had at Trump Tower many years ago,
right.
That thing went like wildfire. So maybe that's the new choice of the next meal.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we merge the two together. We mandate taco trucks to drive around communities like ice cream trucks did when you and I were a kid and sell the Trump Taco Bowl.
Hey, look, I'm fine with that. The problem is under the Kamala Harris Walls administration, nobody's going to be able to afford the damn thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been saying for years that Bidenomics has just destroyed America. And it's to the point now where we're kind of hanging on by a thread. But boy, if we get Kamalanomics, it's over for us. We can't recover from that. Can you talk to us a little bit about Kamala's plan for especially how it's going to affect small communities like lacrosse?
Well, here's the thing, okay? We have seen we've given Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and by extension Tim Walz an opportunity to make our lives better. She's been in office for almost 4 years now. And your listeners remember 4 years ago when she took office, inflation was at about 1.5. Our gas prices were cheaper, our food costs were cheaper, our home heating oil prices were cheaper. We could pay for things for our kids to go back to school, which most of them have done in the last month or so. And now Bidenomics, of which Kamala Harris is responsible for, has gone and decimated our economy.
Yeah, it's harder to find good jobs. Eggs are up 35%. Gas is up at least 35%. Our heating prices are up. Everything is up. And my wife and I were talking about this. We have a Kia Sedona minivan, and she carts our three kids around. It's 18 miles to the gallon. She's paying an extra $1.50 for gas now per gallon than what she was paying 4 years ago. That adds up, and it adds up quickly, especially when you got hockey, you've got dance, you've got volleyball. You know, moms, and we're feeling the squeeze here, and we need some relief from this.
Well, that's right. And listen, by the way, we drive a minivan too. We drive the Toyota Sienna minivan, and the reason is because it's the only minivan that's all-wheel drive. And so we live in New Hampshire, so we need an all-wheel drive vehicle. But I'll tell you what. It is more expensive. And look, I spent all day yesterday with Donald Trump Jr. in Wisconsin and in Michigan. We've been in so many battleground states. And here's what he said. He said him and his two boys were coming back from a hunting trip and they stopped at McDonald's. Now, this is Donald Trump Jr., the son of a billionaire. And three people to go to McDonald's was $48. I don't know how an average family affords it. Now, look, can Donald Trump Jr. afford it? Sure he can. But when I was a kid, growing up in a single parent household, my mother would take my brother and I to McDonald's. And, you know, she'd give us a $5 or a $10 bill and say, go ahead and go get whatever you want for dinner. Those days are gone. People can't afford to go out to eat. People can't afford to stay home and eat. And so the problem we have is we're being squeezed from every single direction. And because of the influx of migrants that are coming into this country, what we call illegal aliens, those lower tier jobs are being taken away from people, particularly those jobs that the young teenagers are trying to go out and get, whether it's landscaping or others. And so we're being squeezed on both sides. And if Kamala Harris is the next president of the United States, we're going to be even worse off than we are today.
Corey, here's a headline, and I'm glad you brought this up. Here's a headline from the Baltimore Sun from 9/28, so just several days ago. And I don't think that any of us are going to say that the Baltimore Sun is a beacon of conservatism by any means. Here's the headline. It says, ICE, 662,000 criminal foreign nationals to be deported are living free nationwide. That's pretty scary in itself. But then ICE goes on to say that of those, 435,719 are convicted criminals. 226,847 have pending criminal charges. 14,914 homicide, sexual assault, 20,061 assault of any kind, 105,000 kidnapping, 3,300. And the scariest one, as a father for me, sex trafficking, 3,971 convictions. How did they let this happen?
Well, it's very simple. They didn't care. Okay. So let me just give you a statistic. There are 3,143 counties in the United States of America. Okay. And so when you extrapolate just the number of people who've been led into this country who are convicted murderers, the worst of the worst, that means that on average, every single county in America has four additional murderers led into this country. Look, I live in a small town of about 12,000 people in New Hampshire. If we had a murderer loose in our streets, the town would be in lockdown. Okay, they'd have you sheltering in place to make sure that there was a manhunt going on. Instead, we've let almost 14,000 murderers into this country, four for every single county in America, and nobody says a word. There's been no accountability. Nobody's in lockdown mode. No one even knows where these people are. So that is what is happening with the Biden-Harris-Walz administration. They're not letting the best and brightest in. They've got our borders wide open, both the northern and the southern border are wide open. And we have also seen 325,000, let me say that again, 325,000 children have gone missing, probably due to sex trafficking. And so we have a historic problem going on here in this country. We're being invaded from within. And I use the word invaded very deliberately. And they've done nothing about it. And now Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are saying, hey, we want to fix the problem. They have caused the problem that they want to fix. This is like the arsonist saying, I want to come and help fight the fire.
You know, the only plan that I can find from Kamala Harris on the immigration issue, which is very hard to find any position that she actually takes a firm stand on. But the only one I can find, Corey, is I think her plan is to sit down with these murderers and all of these other criminals and say, I'm Kamala Harris. I grew up in a middle-class family. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm wearing a blue suit.
Don't forget, she grew up in a middle-class family in Canada.
In Canada,
okay,
that's right.
Okay, it wasn't exactly like she was in the United States of America. And let me ask you a question. Does anybody listening to your show truly believe that she's a gun owner? Of course not.
No.
Okay, let's just stop pretending. Does anybody really believe that she worked at McDonald's? Of course not, because she's just not truthful. So these things are easily verifiable. Your listeners all know because I am a gun owner. Okay, I was actually supposed to be on a moose hunt this week up in Alaska, but I postponed it because of this election. So I know firearms.
Aha! See, this is why I'm not doing campaigns anymore, Corey. I'm going to Belize on a fishing trip next week.
See, I am so jealous. I fished Alaska about 9 weeks ago and caught some massive king salmon up there and some halibut.
But on the Kasilof or the Kenai, which one were you on? Or the Red Russian?
No. I was not on any of those, my friend. Please, I wish. I have nothing to do with Russia. But I will tell you this. Every gun owner knows that you fill out a federal background check. That is easily returnable, meaning you can find it. Anybody knows where it is. Kamala Harris has never done that. She's never worked at McDonald's. She says she worked the fries at McDonald's. You're so bad at every other job, all they do is have you make French fries. It doesn't work like that at McDonald's. And by the way, McDonald's doesn't pay people in cash. So there's a record of that. Produce the record. She just says things because she's a politician and people should be aware of it.
Well, it's not that hard to produce the record, right? All she has to do is go back to where her taxes are and grab a copy of her taxes that she filed and say, look, here it is. That's it. That's all she's got to do.
If she did this, if she actually worked at McDonald's, which I don't believe she did, she worked at McDonald's in Canada because she spent 10 years living in Canada and doesn't want to admit to the American people that she wasn't even a U.S. citizen. She wasn't even in the U.S. at the time.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I had another idea when we have the border. You know, I don't know if you've been to La Crosse. We just got done with Oktoberfest here. We have the longest running Oktoberfest in the country. Had over 100,000 people here. But what I love is you got to travel through some small towns. And one of the things that you do when you go through Onalaska is Onalaska, the city has a big sign that says home of the state champions and it lists them all off, right? Their years. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
All right. So I have an idea for people like Kamala who grew up in other countries and they come here. What would you think, Corey? This is maybe leg three that would get President Trump elected. At every airport in the United States of America, we have Welcome to America, back-to-back World War champions.
I love the idea, except here's the problem. If we ever had to get into World War III, we would lose right now. Our military has been decimated. So, right, China is eating our lunch every day. They're manipulating the currency. They're stealing our intellectual property. Our entire foreign policy right now under the Biden-Walz administration with Harris as the number two can be summed up in one word. Don't. Don't is not foreign policy. Joe Biden says don't. And if you do, I'll be back on the beach. right? I mean, come on, give me a break.
So when Corey talks about China manipulating currency, folks, here's what they do. And this is why the Trump tariffs were so brilliant that he put in place. And this is why Biden and Harris actually kept those in place. What Corey referred to is China buys our debt. And when they buy our debt, when we raise the debt ceiling, by doing so, they're holding on to massive amounts of U.S. dollars, which if it's not influxed into any economy, it's keeping the dollar stable and it keeps the dollar stronger. And China, every day, their national bank, they actually set a value for the yen. And when they're getting ready to export, they drop that value so that it's more advantageous for the U.S. to buy from them than it is to make here on our own. So the tariffs say, if you're going to do that, then fine, we're going to play your game too, and we're going to charge you more to import them so that we're evening the game out so that America can compete. It's brilliant.
Look, that's a Trump policy that makes it pro-America first.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? But here's what we're doing, and your listeners know this. We're literally borrowing money from China because just recently our GDP hit 100% of our national debt for the first time since World War II. We're borrowing money from China to give it to the Ukraine, who is then going and China is then supporting Russia in this whole fight. So we're literally borrowing money from China to give to somebody else so that our children and our grandchildren will be burdened with this debt in perpetuity. $300 billion Vladimir Zelensky has ripped off the U.S. government for.
Hey, Corey.
$300 billion. The guy was in D.C. last week. He sees Kamala Harris for 15 seconds. She gives him $2.5 billion like it's pocket change. And know who gets stuck holding that bill? American taxpayers.
And what do we get out of it? And why is that something that the United States needs to be involved in? I don't know. One of the things that Kamala is promising to do is to fix the healthcare system. And I'm a bit confused because I thought Obamacare fixed everything and we were never going to have to worry about anything ever again. And the average American was going to save $2,500 a year and you could keep your doctor if you liked your doctor. But all of a sudden, we got to fix it again. It's interesting that they keep saying that we capped the cost of insulin at $35 a month or whatever it is. But they fail to tell you that since Biden took office, prescription medications as a whole have increased about 16%. So their little $35 cap on insulin, it's not making a dent in anything. I don't understand. Well, why do we need to fix something that they promised they already fixed?
Well, there's a couple pieces to this. First and foremost, we know that Big Pharma gets rich off of the taxpayer dollars, right? We know that the cost of our prescription drugs are way too high. But here's the other part of this. Kamala Harris says that she's going to get rid of private health care. Because she's a socialist, because she believes in socialist policies, what she is going to do if she's elected president, and she's been very clear about this, is we'll get rid of the private health care system. We'll go to a 100% health care system like Canada has, that she's very familiar with it because that's where she lived for a decade. And she will then determine, the government will determine, if you are entitled to health care. If you have the money to pay for it, maybe you can. But for the average person who's paying their premiums right now, I just want to remind them of something. When you're an illegal alien, you pour into this country illegally, you get free health care. You don't get a bill when you walk into the hospital because you don't have health care. You don't have to pay your copay. You don't have to pay your premiums. You don't have to worry about getting canceled. So we've got all these illegals who come into our country. They put a massive burden on our health care system. They go and decimate the hospitals because they walk away. And then the American taxpayer, who's actually trying to do it properly, says, hey, my premiums have just gone up. I can't get my coverage anymore. I was supposed to have a better health care system than I do today because that's what Obama promised me, which you also know was a lie. And now Kamala Harris is saying, let's get rid of that system and let's have the government tell you when you can and cannot have surgeries, when you can and can't have certain procedures. Because that's what she believes in. Because she's a socialist and she believes the government is the solution, it's the exact opposite of everything that Donald Trump has stood for. And that's why the American people, and specifically the people of Wisconsin, are going to wake up in just under 5 weeks and say, no more Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden agenda. We're going back to the good old days of Donald John Trump.
Yeah, a complete and total government takeover of the healthcare system would be devastating to La Crosse. As you know, one of our biggest employers is Gunderson Health and the other one is Mayo Clinic. And we have some very good healthcare now. But what I, Corey, going back to what you said about government saying that you're going to have this done or not this done and you can't have that done, what I find so comical is you've got Tim Walz and Kamala Harris riding around on a reproductive rights bus tour saying that government or stay there, mind your own dang business, and government shouldn't or should trust women to make their own decisions with healthcare. Yeah, I think that the decision of what women can do with their body was already made by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris when they mandated that women get the COVID shot, right? There wasn't much trust there.
No, see, it's amazing. When the government, when they decide that you have to do something, you have no choice, right? The COVID shot was everybody gets it regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, no exemptions for your religious beliefs. If you're in the military or you're in the National Guard, you will get it or you will be fired. If you're a first responder, you will get it or you will be fired. If you're a teacher, you will get it. We'll keep our kids out of schools. We know what's best. You know, we're going to listen to Dr. Fauci. So when it comes to those things, Big Pharma has made billions and billions and billions of dollars off of the backs of this administration, and they mandate that. But now all of a sudden, when it comes to the issue of reproductive rights, they say, oh, Donald Trump is going to take those away. Well, we know it's not true.
Right.
Because what happened in the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade was very simple. The Supreme Court took that federal law and moved it back to the states. And every state in America now has an opportunity to vote on it. And there's like 17 states, I think, this November in 5 weeks, that are going to be voting on how they want their state to administer the issue of the pro-life movement. And so some states like Ohio and Kansas have already decided that they're going to be more liberal of the words I'll use than they would historically perceive to have been. But that's how the system works. The people get to decide at the ballot box, not some unelected bureaucrat or not some Congress or law that was passed from 50 years ago. The Supreme Court simply said, let's give it back to the laboratories of democracy. And what a law could look like in Wisconsin is very different than what a law could look like in Massachusetts or California.
Hey, Corey, speaking of which, that's democracy that you just described there. And you hear Kamala Walls. There you go. How do you like that name? Kamala Walls. That's what we can call them. You hear those two saying that, oh, vote for us to save democracy. But as I look at their record on actually participation in democracy, they've got like a 0%. I mean, Tim Walls and Kamala Harris got exactly 0 votes in the presidential primary. They went to the convention. They were given one option. The delegates were of somebody to vote for, Kamala Harris or nobody. So that's not really democracy. And then, as you mentioned, they don't want these issues to go back down to the states. I think what they're trying to say is that we don't really truly want democracy. We want democratold. We're going to tell you what to do. I mean, I look at the unions. They, 65% said endorsed Trump, 35% said Harris. And then the union's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that either. I just don't understand how they continue to get away with this stuff. And I'm glad that you're holding them accountable. I'm glad that President Trump is holding them accountable. Somebody has to hold them accountable for what doesn't make sense. I want to touch on one more thing because I know you've got to go. And this really bothers me in Wisconsin. We have drop boxes here for absentee voting. These are of great concern to me because I think they just open up the whole system for fraud. You know, for absentee ballots, we already have drop boxes. They're called mailboxes. Why do we need drop boxes all over the state and counties and stuff like that for people to just kind of do whatever they want to with?
Well, listen, you and I both know there's only one reason for those drop boxes, is so that it's easier to try and cheat. And I don't think there's anybody in America who's being honest who doesn't think that in the 2020 election, there were shenanigans that took place. Everybody knows that. I was in Philadelphia the day after the election, and I watched as fast as they could separate the envelopes from the ballots so that you could never question or validate the signatures that were on those envelopes. And so, look, drop boxes are designed for one thing. As opposed to making it easy and putting it in the U.S. Postal Service, which is what everybody does, or bringing it back to your local Board of Election, which is what people do, what they're doing here instead is saying, hey, without any verification, stick this in a box and let's hope that on the back end of this, maybe someone's going to go and validate or verify the signature that's on this envelope, that it matches with the signature that's on file for the person. And listen, I am a big proponent of if you have the law and have the ability to vote early, you should be doing that. We cannot allow the Democrats to ring up these massive numbers that they always do because they turn their people out early. So if you can, go vote early. If you have to vote absentee, go do that. Do not wait until Election Day, which is what Republicans traditionally do. And we usually win on Election Day. But right now, this year, it's too important. The good news is this. The good news is, and I probably shouldn't say this because it may incite the others to go and get motivated, but the good news is when you look at the number of absentee ballots which have been requested so far in 2024 and you compare it to where things were in 2020, it's about 50% less. So that means there are less people actually requesting those absentee ballots, and that means hopefully more people are actually voting in person, and it should be a valid identification that is required for you to vote, and it should be that only U.S. citizens vote in federal elections.
Well, Corey, you know, to prove your point, and then I'll let you go. I did some research on this, and this is just me doing research. Hey, I had a 2.25 GPA when I graduated from college, so take that for what it is and have your comms team get on this. In Dane County, which is Madison, and just to show the difference of drop boxes versus not drop boxes, Joe Biden outperformed Hillary. Hillary got 64.1% of the vote. Joe Biden magically got 73.4% of the vote for a total of 10,441 new votes. They had 14 drop boxes. In Milwaukee County, Biden outperformed Hillary with 14,111 votes. They had 15 drop boxes. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I am going to go down here to how Trump did in 2016 versus 2020 in Dane County. In 2020, Trump got negative 3,419 votes with drop boxes. And in Milwaukee County, minus 5,511 than what he got the time prior. Again, have your team definitely look into this. I'm going to be keeping an eye on drop boxes. Wisconsin law is pretty ambiguous on who can collect ballots. It's only specific on who can mail it in on behalf of the elector, but it says nothing about who can collect ballots. And I believe that's why we have drop boxes. So, Corey, look, I can't thank you enough for your time. You've got an election to win. You've got 34 days left. I'm going to make sure that next time President Trump is here, that hopefully we can get him down to the Oktoberfest grounds so that he can see our big festival. And if not, by all means, can you just move the election so that next election cycle, Corey, y'all can be here for Oktoberfest? It's a huge festival
here.
Well,
I'll tell you, you guys don't know this. We were in Wisconsin on Saturday before we went to the Alabama-Georgia football game.
I was there in Prairie du Chien.
Yes, so we were in Prairie du Chien, but what you don't know, because it's just a logistics issue, is that they actually wanted us to go land over by Oktoberfest and motorcade 2 hours. And I said, are you kidding me? We'll never get out of that place, because it was just such a great place. But, you know, that airport is not the largest, as you know, over in Prairie du Chien. But it was a great event, and President Trump will be back in Wisconsin again this week, next week, and for the next 5 weeks. We are hitting that battleground state. The U.S. Senate runs through that state. Eric Hovde is a good candidate. You have to go out and support him. But it's most important to go out and support the top of the ticket, and let's send Kamala Harris and Joe Walls Tim Walls and Joe Biden packing.
All right. Corey Lewandowski, senior presidential advisor to U.S. President Donald Trump. If I had to describe Corey to individuals in the political world, if Michael Jordan and Tom Brady and Barry Bonds had a baby, they would name him Corey. You take the goat of all three and you put them together, and there you've got Corey. I don't even think that's possible, but that's who Corey is. He makes presidents. He's a smart guy. He's a fun guy. He's a wizard. He's good at what he does, folks, and he needs our help to make sure that we can actually take America back. Corey, next time Trump's in town, you got to get him to sign my fight, fight, fight white high tops.
We'll do that, and we'd love to do an interview with you next time we're in town.
All right, Corey. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
You've been listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.